So this morning's lectionary reading is one of those that bothers me a little bit, because they give us this little piece of the story, because it says, when Peter began to speak to them, and we might be wondering, who were they that Peter began to speak to? So I'm going to share a little bit what was happening. So in Caesarea at this time, this starts at the beginning of chapter 10, if you want to read the whole chapter later on. In Caesarea, there is a man by the name of Cornelius, and he's a centurion, so he is a Gentile. He's from an Italian cohort, and he's a devout man, and he gives regularly to God, but he hears about this man named Peter, and he has this vision that this man has to come to him. He says, the vision, the angel tells him, because he asks, what is it, Lord? He knows this vision is coming from God. Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa for a certain Simon who is called Peter. So he sends for Peter to come to Caesarea. Now it's important for us to remember who Peter is. Peter is a Jew. He is one of the first of the 12 disciples. And from the early disciples' understanding, they are the chosen people of God. Christ came into their lives, and so they saw this sort of narrow vision of what God's calling for the people of God was the people of God who are known as Jews. And that they could not associate with Gentiles because Gentiles were unclean. So here is Cornelius, who would be considered unclean, seeking Peter, who would possibly not want anything to do with him. So now Peter gets a dream. And Peter gets a dream about this canvas that comes down, and all of these food are upon it. And he's kind of told by God that there's nothing that you consider unclean that I can't make clean. And so he tells Peter in this vision that there's going to be a man to come to him, and he must follow that man to meet Cornelius. So I want us again to think about what might be going on in Peter's head, that Peter's being asked to go outside of his comfort zone, to see people beyond who he would normally see, to provide God's word to people beyond who he thought were the chosen people to hear this word. But he goes. And so when he arrives, and Cornelius was expecting him, and he falls, the scriptures say, he falls at his feet and worships him. But Peter made him get up, saying, stand up, I am only a mortal. And as he talked with him, he went in and found that many had assembled. So this is many people who were not of the Jewish faith had gathered to hear this word from this man. And Cornelius tells him about his prayer. About 4 days prior, at his hour, he had this man standing dazzling white came before him and said his prayer had been heard. And that's when Peter began to speak. And what does Peter speak to this crowd of Gentiles? He says, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. This is a new understanding for Peter, that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. God had opened Peter's heart through the power of the Holy Spirit to see that God's idea of the kingdom of God, God's idea of God's holy family, was much larger than Peter ever imagined. But then Peter shares with this crowd who don't know exactly who they're following or what they want to hear, tells the story of who Jesus of Nazareth is, that he was baptized in the River Jordan by John, that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, that he walked and talked, he fed the hungry, healed the sick, and ate with sinners and proclaimed that the time had come when God would save God's people, that he died on the cross, he rose from the dead. And then Peter's very clear about this. He says, and the chosen people who met with him, they ate and drank with him. He's saying, we didn't see a ghost. We saw a resurrected human being. What the scriptures don't tell us at that point, or the lectionary doesn't share with us at that point, is after Peter explains all this and says, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Verse 44 starts, While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. And the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter said, Can anyone withhold the waters for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they invited him to stay for a few days. God's idea of the kingdom of God is so much bigger and greater than we can ever imagine. And that gift of the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost, that came upon Peter, is a gift that comes upon us too. Not just as at our baptism, but is present in our baptism. The gift of the Holy Spirit is what guided Peter and opened Peter's heart and mind to the idea that the body of Christ is as big as the universe. We, brothers and sisters in Christ, right now are faced with so many challenges in the world, so much segregation in terms of, well, my community believes this, and my community believes that, and my community believes this, that we isolate ourselves and exclude people who don't think or believe the same way. If I had to exclude anybody who didn't believe what I believe, I'd have to get a divorce. That's the honest truth. Yeah. I don't think he and I have ever voted the same thing on a political ticket. But that doesn't make love a relationship. When we say, well, you know, you don't think the way I do, so you can't be part of my crowd. I grew up in high school that was that way. I don't know if any of you had a high school experience that way. There was multiple in crowds. You know, you just kind of picked your in crowd that you wanted to be in. But I always ended up on the fringe of just about every crowd that could possibly be. Christ is there in the fringe. But Christ is also there in the center of whatever crowd it is. The body of Christ can be so much more than we imagine it to be. That baptism of Jesus, which we're going to hear in just a moment, that baptism when he came up out of the waters and the heavens broke and God declared, this is my son, my beloved. God was declaring the world is his parish and the world is ours as well. The biggest thing we have to do is get beyond ourselves, if that makes sense for you. That some of what baptism is the dying to self and the rising to Christ. That we remove all those things that we think are important and move into the things that God calls important. So it really is what happens after our baptism, isn't it? That we can step out of the waters of our baptism. We're good Methodists, we sprinkle very well. Though we do now dunk you if you want. But after our baptism, we're called to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We have been cleansed by the blood of Christ to be different in the world. But also to recognize all the places where fringe people are in need. And the barriers that create around groups need to come down. That we are the ones, wherever God calls us to do or be, to speak love and truth in the midst of whatever that situation is. because God wins. The kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. And we will be part of it. Good thing I keep my marker in my Bible too. Because Peter's words to them were, all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Our task after our baptism is to share our story with those who need to hear it and to live as Christ calls us to live. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.